Most of us have heard computer music at one time or another. Take Pachelbel's Canon in E, played here on a simple $2,000 home computer. You can sort of make it out, but let's face it, it's a bit tinny, mathematical. It's too electric. But that's changing. Barry Truax is a professor of arts and communications at Simon Fraser University in British Columbia. And as Mark O'Neill reports, he's developed a system that's turning computer music on its tin ear.
Sound. It's almost impossible to escape. All of it is the raw material for Barry Truax's new generation of granular synthesis programs.
People who are not involved with it think that, oh, what we do is so incredibly wonderful and amazing and maybe even science fiction-like, that all these things are happening now. Having worked in the field now for 15 years, I keep feeling that we're just starting. In a certain sense, we've just taken a few initial steps into a new sonic universe and a way of thinking about music, the bounds of which we've not yet reached.
This is the sound in the room where it's done, an air-conditioned, closet-sized cubbyhole deep in the bowels of Simon Fraser University. A small fortune in hardware sits in racks and on chairs, interconnected machinery that is unwittingly contributing to its own obsolescence. Music for Math by Max Matthews is probably the earliest computer record. Things have improved since then, but still, most composers are limited to sounds programmed by the electronics. Granular synthesis goes quite a bit further. It allows an infinite variety of real sounds, musical or otherwise.
Very quick definition, granular synthesis produces high densities of very short events, hundreds and literally thousands of small events per second. And by short events, I generally mean things that are less than 50 milliseconds. 50 milliseconds is 1/20th of a second. Fundamental to granular synthesis is this paradox between how trivial the ultimate source sound is and how massive and rich some of the effects are when they're produced in that level of density. And here is a texture produced with about 1,000 events per second. And to illustrate how that is actually composed of small grains, we were hearing 20 simultaneous oscillators or voices, and now I'll remove some of them until we're down to an individual one set of one oscillator only. Okay, and I'll separate each grain now so that you can hear it individually.
Susan Frickberg is an electroacoustic composer, and she studies with Truax at Simon Fraser. She says the timbre, or density of sound, is much more important than pitch, melody, or scale in her work. The new system allows for that, and as an important added bonus, responds immediately to instructions.
He's made it run in real time, which is quite an achievement. Curtis Rhodes was one of the first people to work with it in North America. But the piece he did took something like, 12 hours of computation time. And it's hard to get feedback when you plug in some numbers and have to wait 12 hours before you actually hear the sound. What Barry's done is, first of all, as soon as you turn on the program, you hear the sound of the granular synthesis in its most simple form. Then you can change various parameters and you can hear the changes immediately.
Another type of sampling that I've used is with instrumental sounds, or in this case, the Toronto oboist Lawrence Cherney. I took recordings of his instrumental sounds, took little bits out of them, and here they are back again, but granulated.
Jean Pichet met Barry Truax in Holland in 1975. Pichet was planning to come to Simon Fraser to study with R. Murray Schafer, one of Barry's mentors. Schafer left, but Jean decided to come anyway. I talked to him from Ottawa just as he was moving from being music and opera officer of the Canada Council to teaching at the University of Montreal.
Barry has been at the forefront for many years in developing new tools and new techniques, and I'm not talking only about what's happening in Canada. I think in that way, Barry is certainly one of the most underrated researchers in that field in the world. I think he certainly is going to stay there. I mean, he has a knack for finding the quick and efficient solution to a lot of those problems, and I think he will definitely remain there for years to come.
This is the voice of Norbert Rubsat from the material for my piece, The Blind Man, and it's some poetic words that he was using. Now I'll start slowing them down. The word tapping is cane. Or I also have ramps on this program, which means that I can go smoothly from one kind of sound to another one. Here's an upward sort of ramp. And we can change from one type of sound texture to another type of sound texture continuously without having to specify all the intermediate stages. This ramping of the variables, changing them gradually, was what I used for the piece River Run that appears on the compact disc.
Years ago, you would have paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for equipment to make this music, if indeed it existed at all. Today, it sells in the tens of thousands. But tomorrow, TrueAxis system will fit on one board, which will plug into a home Atari. The prototype should be ready in about 6 months, with the programs projected to sell for about $2,000. A cheap price for a tool that will accept any sort of raw sound and then instantly manipulate it in a million different ways to create compositions the likes of which have yet to be imagined. For Sunday Morning Arts, I'm Mark O'Neill at Simon Fraser University.